hard should we hit the ramp? Right? If our aim is there, if our launch pad is there, if we know we want to follow Jesus, how hard do we hit that ramp? How much force do we put into this puppy? Because last time I checked, have you guys ever, anybody like build a ramp in your backyard when you were a little kid? And you always thought you got more air than what you actually did, you know? And so you're like, what, did you see that? And then you like film it and you're like, oh dude, that's pretty lame, right? It's all about how we hit the ramp, right? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. What makes greatness great is the risks and the sacrifice that greatness requires, right? And ultimately, we have the best example ever of this as Jesus being like the greatest full sender in the history of the entire earth, right? I mean, he went all the way to the cross, took on the sin of the world, and died for the sin of humanity so that we could know him. But tonight, what I want us to look at is I want us to look at a guy who I think is a great full sender, and his name is Paul. And if you're here tonight and you say, man, Steve, I don't know about this, right? I don't want to, you can take that down because for some people that's giving them anxiety, okay? Oh, thank you, I can listen again. All right, for some of you, you're sitting here and you're like, Steve, this message isn't for me. I'm not a risk taker. All right, I'm not an extreme sports person. And in fact, I have a timid personality, and I'm kind of a risk-averse person. My argument to you tonight is that being a full-send Christian has nothing to do with our personality or natural talent. Absolutely nothing. It starts with a mindset. And a guy by the name of Paul in the Bible had a mindset that was one of being a full-send, all-out Christian. And this was his Christian resume, okay? We're just going to look at what Paul accomplished. He decided to serve Jesus after passionately persecuting the church. What that led him to, the challenges that led him to, the mountain that he had to climb was this. He was imprisoned multiple times, was put on house arrest, was shipwrecked, was bitten by snakes, was beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead. He was whipped, he was cheated, he was betrayed. His life was threatened constantly, and eventually he got executed. And on his way through everything I just described, he wrote 13 books in the New Testament that we are still reading today, 2,000 years later. He is credited with founding churches in Corinth, Berea, Thessalonica, Philippi, Athens, Ephesus, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Perga, Cyprus, and possibly a church in Spain. And he traveled on those missionary journeys that combined 13 of believed in the gospel. This was someone who said, I am going all out. If it kills me, I don't care, because there's only one thing that's worth it, and his name is Jesus. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but I really do believe this. As I was praying over this message, I really believe that there's going to be some people in this room that you're here and you have tasted a version of Christianity that has left a bad taste in your mouth. You've tasted a version of Christianity that kind of says that we can kind of be half in and half out of this thing, and has left you kind of wondering what this is all about. In fact, it kind of left Christianity as being something that's not super desirable to you. And I want to propose to you tonight that anything less than full send Christianity, as we're calling it tonight, is not actually Christianity at all. It's not. Because when we understand the true value of the gospel, we understand that the value of the gospel means that giving up everything is only the start of the value that we see in what Jesus did for us. And so tonight I want us to run through five mindsets that I think Paul had in a passage in Philippians 3. And we're going to read Philippians 3, starting in verse 4. And there it is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. It says this. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he goes on to list off his religious resume. all of these cool things that made him a really holy and righteous person. Okay? Now, but then listen to what he says to all of it. He says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Everyone say rubbish. I like that word. And he found in him, and to be found, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him to the point of death, and so somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. Now listen to this. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here is a guy who says, listen, there is nothing, nothing worth more than following Jesus with everything I have, to go full send for Jesus Christ. So what are five mentalities? All of these, just a disclaimer, every single one of these could merit its own message. I got good news for you tonight. We're going to go through them quickly, all right? I do not want tonight to be an end-all, just kind of like I don't want you to walk out of here tonight thinking, oh, those were some good thoughts, bye, right? I want tonight, the purpose of tonight's message is for you to take these five mindsets and for you to process them when you leave this place. That this would be the start of a discussion, all right? So the first one is this, is to know your why. It's to know your why. In other words, know your target and know your aim. Paul makes it very clear that he had one goal in mind. It was not to change the world. And we get that wrong a lot of times, right? His goal was not to change the world. Did Paul change the world? Yeah, Paul was a world changer. But his primary goal was not to change the world. His primary goal was not to make the world a better place. His primary goal was not to achieve something for God. His primary goal, as we see in this passage, was to know Christ better. That was his goal. In verse 8 and 9, it simply says this. It says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else pales in comparison to that. He calls it rubbish. To become more like Jesus and to make him known. I'm going to challenge you tonight to develop a mission statement for your life. A mission statement is a very powerful thing. It's something that we can measure everything we do next to. We have a mission statement in Chi Alpha, and every single time we talk in staff meeting and we come up with ideas, we always weigh it next to, okay, does this fall in line with my mission statement? And my challenge for you is to develop a mission statement for your life. And essentially, if we adopt the one that Jesus spells out for us in Scripture, really every single one of our mission statements should simply be to know God and to make him known. And so when we weigh everything we do next to that, then all of a sudden when I walk into my psychology class next Monday, hey, nailed it right there. All right, so when I walk into my psychology class next Monday, I'm not just going there just to be like, I'm just going to listen and maybe like check Facebook and like Instagram, this cool picture I took last night of my spaghetti that I made and whatever. But we go there with purpose. We say, how can I go to psychology class and know God and make him known? When I walk into this classroom, what is it that I'm here to do? I was having this conversation with someone just the other day. And I asked him, why do you think Chi Alpha exists? We are not here to provide community at UAA. We are not here to do anything but know God and to make him known. Now, a tool that we use for that is community. And a byproduct of that is that we love hanging out together. We love walking towards Jesus together, right? But that is not the end goal. Our end goal is to know God and to make him known. So do you have a mission statement for your life? The second mindset that Paul shows us in this passage is that nothing else matters as much as that mission statement. Nothing else matters as much as knowing Christ. Verse 8, again, he calls it rubbish. And I think this is so important. Full senders have something in common. When we look at Alex Hunold, the vision of reward became bigger than the fear of failure. The vision of success became bigger than the fear of failure. And I watched like this thing intrigued me. So I watched TED Talks, Alex Hunold giving TED Talks, all this stuff. And he said that he actually visualized climbing the mountain and he visualized falling. And that he knew he was not ready until he could visualize going all the way to the top without falling. Isn't that something? He visualized the entire thing. He said every single move down to the minute detail of where a finger was placed was planned out and mapped out in my brain. Is our vision of success bigger than our fear of failure? We have to believe that the value of knowing Jesus better is so immeasurably beyond the scope of our comprehension that anything that we are to give for him, to him, in order to know him and make him known is infinitely worth it. So my question for you tonight is there something in your life that you've made more important than God? Is there something more valuable? Because if there is, I think it prevents us from being full senders when it comes to our walks with Jesus. The third mindset is this, is that there is always more. There is always more. Full senders are never satisfied with the status quo, right? That's what makes them someone who goes full send, right? Essentially, no one had ever done this before. And at the end of Free Solo, at the end of that movie, it's really interesting. Alex Hunold goes, it makes me wonder what's next. He just accomplished what many mountain climbers say is the greatest challenge ever. And he asks, what's next? So what's so amazing about Jesus is that he's infinite. Listen to what Paul says in verse 12 through 14. It says, not that I have already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Remember that like resume I read at the beginning of this message? All of the things that Paul accomplished? Paul wrote this book while he was in prison towards the end of his life. In fact, most scholars believe this was written during his last imprisonment. So this was not long before he was going to get executed. So Paul had already accomplished everything, and he writes, not that I've already obtained all this or been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. In other words, he knew that there was always some place to go. There was always more of God to know. And I don't want that to sound overwhelming, and I don't want that to sound like, oh, great, another thing to do. No. It's another thing that we get to explore. It means that for the rest of your life, you could discover something new about the God that we serve, and it would never get old. So my question for you tonight on this mindset is simply this. Are we satisfied with our current level of knowing God? Are we satisfied with the depth of our knowledge of God? Are we saying, you know what, I'm good with this much. I'm good with this much God in my life. Because if you are, I think you have tragically mistaken who God really is and the goodness of how amazingly awesome he is and that he's always worth it. There's something off with those first two mindsets if we can somehow stop there. The fourth mindset is that I can't lose. Turn to your neighbor and say, all I do is win. Full Senders have people. If you've ever watched some of those like dumb shows where they like try to do a bunch of like stupid tricks and all these like like Nitro Circus or something dumb like that, where they'd like do all these flips and all this stuff. Those guys are, I think there's something maybe wrong with them in the head, but the Full Senders feel a false sense of invincibility, right? They really do. Somehow we think that, and all the time you probably heard your parents say that like, oh, someday your body's going to catch up to you, right? Someday those old knees of yours, you're going to feel old, you know? But when we're young, a lot of times we do. We feel invincible, right? And it causes us to do things that when we look back on them in our lives, we're like, wow, that was really dumb and really dangerous, right? You see, Paul writes something interesting here. He says in verse 10, he says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul writes in other places that to die is actually gain. In other words, essentially what I'm saying here is even if life stinks, even if we do something and it turns out to be really difficult for Jesus, we get into the thick of things and all of a sudden we're in trouble. We're getting like what all the things that Paul experienced, the stoned and left for dead, the whipping and the beating and all of these different things that he experienced. Every single time those things happen, he writes the same thing, that he considers it a pure joy when he shares in the sufferings of Christ. Because he knows that Jesus experienced all of the suffering, all of the pain, and all of the burden for all of humanity when he went to be on the cross. And when you experience a drop of a drop of a drop of that suffering, you are sharing for the sake of Christ. You are sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And therefore, you have a better understanding of what he brought to the cross with him, and therefore you understand your Savior better. You know him better. You experience his comfort better in those times. You experience his arms around you in a way that you never thought imaginable. You experience his victories in those things and all of those, whatever it is, but even when we lose, we gain. I think sometimes we miss this in Christianity. And it causes us to be risk-averse Christians. And it causes us to, like, oh, you know, tiptoe around and, oh, I don't know. You know, I'm waiting for my writing in the sky moment. If Jesus flies by in a bush plane with one of those big banners on the back that says, go on a missions trip, then I will go on it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, it didn't happen. Well, all right, good. Here I go, right? Well, I think sometimes we forget about the fact that sometimes we never hear, no one ever tells a bad story in a sermon, right? Like about a time that things didn't work out. And so I'm gonna tell you one, all right? I was, again, spoiler alert, this is a bad story, all right? This isn't going to cause you to be like, wow, all right? So I was at North Dakota State. I was a junior in college. I was riding my really cool green Huffy. It actually had a speedometer, 18 gears, shifted smooth, Walmart special. It was awesome. All right. And so I was riding my bike and I was on my way from one of my classes to another class. And I drove through this, like, kind of like right by this building. And as I was driving by this building, I was riding my bike next to this person that was walking. And as I drove my bike past them, it was just like the Holy Spirit, like, spoke to me. God spoke to me. And it was like he prompted me to go back, and it's like, you need to go back and pray for that person. Ask that person to be prayed for. I said, okay, this is probably going to be really strange. And I kind of had one of those internal arguments with God, like, I don't know about that. And it's like, no, okay, God, you told me to do it. It's got to be good. You're a good God. And so I went back, and I'm not going to lie. I think I freaked the guy out a little bit, all right? It's like, bling, bling, you know, like I rolled up to him, like, hey, you don't know me, but my name is Steve. And he kind of like jumped back like this. And And I said, hey, I was biking by you, and I just felt like I was supposed to come back and ask you if there's anything I could pray for you for. And he looked at me like I was some sort of freak. And he was like, no, bro, I'm good, all right? And he just walked away. That's the end of the story, all right? But you know what's weird about that? I still remember that. That happened 8 years ago. And I remember in that moment, I was biking away, and I remember the Lord spoke to me and said, Steve, was that really that bad? You were worried about that happening. And it happened, and it actually wasn't that bad, was it? I was like, no, you're right, right? And you know, I don't think God plays games with us, and I'm not trying to communicate that. But what I'm saying is that I learned something about stepping out in boldness and the fact that when we do that, it doesn't guarantee that everything is, that the end story is going to be the, and then everybody got saved, right? And that's okay. Because in that moment, again, I know it was a drop of a drop of a drop of a drop, but I shared in the minute suffering of Jesus Christ. Feeling that feeling of rejection helped me understand a little bit more about how Jesus felt on the cross when all he wanted to do was love the people that were killing him. You understand? Even if a classmate or someone that you are, that you give an invitation to, that you open up a spiritual conversation with, whatever, no matter what they do to you, you win. Because even if they don't come to know Jesus Christ, I guarantee you're going to know Christ better through your failure. Pretty awesome. Now, disclaimer, that's not permission to be a loose cannon, right? And just like go off and say whatever I want. Well, it's just not working, but I'm sharing in the sufferings of Jesus, right? No, you're just being a moron and you're being rude, right? That's not a excuse just to be rude to people. But in our obedience, we cannot lose. And finally, the last thing is this, is that full send Christianity is not about priority. Paul makes it clear that his whole life revolves around Christ. It is not an add-on. It was not something that he just did, okay? Now, there was, and here's the cool thing about Paul. You might not know this, but Paul, actually, there was times in Paul's life where he was a tent maker, and he made tents. He had a full-time job in order to support his ministry. And some of you are going to school right now to have a full-time job. And I believe that God might want to for you to look at that job not as the end goal, but as a way to support the ministry that he has called you to here on earth. Right? It's kind of like this. I think so many times we compartmentalize our lives way too much. And I've done this illustration a couple years ago, but I wanted to pull it back out. So if I could my assistants. Great. Look at this. Greg and Natalie, give them a hand, everybody. Give them a hand. All right. We're going to end with this tonight because I think that this you guys can put it right here. I think this illustrates the point well. So what we have here is, what I want to illustrate here is a couple different understandings of the way we prioritize our lives. Imagine a ping pong ball is something that you prioritize in your life. And so let's just say you have school and you have family and you have, your future career. You have this like hobby that you have. You have some humanitarian efforts that you're working on. You have some, you know, this really, really cool relationship with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You have friendships. I wrote obsession on that ping pong ball. Not really sure what that was about. All right. You have small group that you go to, Chi Alpha. You're in church. You obviously need some time for Netflix. You need some time to eat. You need some time to work and make some money. You need to do some things to build a resume. You should have a budget. And then all of a sudden, the God bubble of your life just kind of is like, oh, shoot. It kind of fits, this week Netflix took up an extra hour because I just really needed that extra hour of Netflix. I really deserved it. And so now it's like, well, God kind of fits in the schedule, right? So then what we do, right, because we're really holy Christians, what we do is we say, nope, Jesus, you are my all in all. So I'm going to put you in first. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all of my other priorities around you. The problem with this is that we have separated sacred and secular things in our lives. God is still only getting a portion of our lives when he is asked to have it all, to be in all things and through all things, that whatever we do, whether in work or in deed, whether in word or in deed, we do it all for the glory of God. And so I propose to you tonight that full sanct Christianity does not look like this, but instead it takes all of our priorities and it baptizes them, it immerses them in what Jesus wants. You see, when we operate, ooh, like a cool science experiment. When we operate this way, now it's not, this is my Christian life and this is my friend's life. This is my family life, or this is my life with some of my friends, and this is my Chi Alpha life. I have this life on Thursday nights or on Tuesday nights at small group, and then I have this other life living over here. But instead, bringing Jesus into every single portion to allow him to be the Lord over not just our time at Chi Alpha, not just our time at small group, but Lord over every single thing. So that when we go into our class, we know that I'm going into psychology class to know God and to make him known. When I go to work, I'm showing up to work to know God and to make him known. When I show up and I sit down for lunch in the student union, or when I sit down for lunch here in the Cuddy cafeteria, I'm in there to know God and to make him known. And I got put on my dorm floor because I am called to know God and to make him known. I am, whatever it is, insert whatever it is, I'm going to become a civil engineer to know God and to make him known. I'm going to become a teacher to know God and to make him known. When you understand the freedom there is in this? When we remove the secular and sacred compartments of our lives and we say, no, as a follower of Christ, every single thing is sacred. Then and only then do we become full-send Christians. Then and only then does our world and our universe revolve, not just revolve around Christ, but every single thing is immersed in Christ. And for some of you next week, when you make a decision to get baptized, this is what you're declaring. That yes, through the waters of baptism, we say you go down with your old self and up with your new self. You go into the water as a sinner. You come out fresh and clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice that he made. But you also, through immersion in water, understand that you are giving Jesus Christ not just the parts of your life that you want to give him, but every single nook and cranny now belongs to him. And that's the beauty of being immersed in the waters of baptism. We'll invite the worship team to come back up. Because what could happen? What could happen if all of us became full-send Christians who didn't compartmentalize a single thing in our lives? I have watched students in our ministry who have adopted this mentality, adopted the mentalities described here, and I have watched God do immeasurably more than what they could have ever asked or imagined with such small amounts of obedience. It's absolutely fantastic. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, I want to just end with a couple questions tonight. If you're here tonight and you realize that, man, I need this in my life, that I want to go full send for Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight, you realize that you've just kind of been drifting. You don't have a mission statement. You don't walk into your classes or to work or into lunch or wherever it is with any amount of intentionality at all. You're just kind of, you just kind of coast through your day existing. And tonight you say, I want to have a mission statement for my life. If you're here tonight and you say, I don't want to be content with my current depth of knowing Christ. If you're here tonight and you've had a fear of losing that has paralyzed you, and you want to recognize that, man, no matter, if worse comes to worse and I die for Jesus, I still win. Or if tonight you realize that you have been separating your life into the sacred and into the secular, and tonight you want to immerse every single part, you want to go full send, I just want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. And I know that this is like maybe, I wasn't planning on doing this. I just want to know who I'm praying for. And I want you to actually take a physical response that requires some sort of actual risk, right? By standing up, you obviously, to your friends around you, you say, hey, guess what? Not that I've already obtained this, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Right? I'm standing with you because I've not already obtained this. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I wish I could say I was a full saint Christian every single day, but the reality is that I'm not. And so I'm going to pray for all of us, and then I'm just going to invite us into a time of worship. If there is something that you need prayer for specifically, we have a prayer team in the back. But I would just ask that you would spend some time reflecting with Jesus on these mindsets and ask him, which one of these might I need to just adjust in my life? And if you're here tonight and you have not made a decision for Jesus, he is not your Lord and Savior, or maybe he was in the past and that grew cold and stagnant, and tonight you would like to get your heart right with God, we would love to pray with you to make that decision. My wife and I and a couple other Chi Alpha staff people, some small group leaders possibly, will be in the back of the room, and they would love to pray with you and tell you about what that means and how to take the next steps towards Christ. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you did not give us something lame to be part of, but you gave us something that was worthy of giving everything. You gave us something that was worthy, that was so valuable that it was worthy of my full self. And God, I pray that we would become full sand Christians, that we would go all out, that there would be nothing that we would hold back, that there would be nothing compartmentalized or prioritized in our lives, but that you would be in all things and through all things in our life. That we would not be able to walk into a classroom or into work or into the grocery store, or drive around town without asking ourselves the question, God, how is it that I can know you better?